Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
And before there was one molecule, He predestined me, what? That Steve is gonna make it. He's gonna get there. Before the foundation of the world, that's when He called me. Called me for what? Some of what I'm doing right now. Even though I tried to run from it for a number of years. When did God call you guys and then equip you for your calling? When? Well, when I received the Lord, then He gave me the Holy Spirit, which is true, and that's when He called me. And I'd better watch it, because if I goof up enough, He'll yank that calling away from me. Is that accurate? God's giftings and callings are without repentance. He didn't call you and gift you when you received Him. He called and He gifted you from before the foundation of the world. We're still not done. And whom He called, He also justified. What does that mean? Just as if I had never, ever, ever, ever sinned. When? From the foundation of the world, beloved. We're the ones that come up to Him and say, "Lord, I did that thing for the 50th time." And if you are in Christ, how much of your sin was paid for? And God may look at you theologically speaking and saying, "What are you talking about? I called you. I predestined you, I called you, and I justified you." When, everybody? Before the foundation of the world. We're still not done. And whom He justified, those He also glorified. Now hold on, hold on. Glorified, don't you mean brand new body, eternal body, fit for eternity? What's the answer? Yes. Well, wait a minute. Don't we get that body only at the rapture? Yes. So then I'm ruling and reigning with Christ. I am an extension of His administration to the humans who made it through the Great Tribulation, who are converted, who are now procreating, refilling an earth that has been healed back to its Eden-like state. And aren't I, in my new body, ruling and reigning with Christ, an extension of His administration for 1,000 years? And then remember what happens, that at the end of 1,000 years, the devil is let out. He tries to whip up the humans one more time to come against Jesus. That's when God blows His whistle. Everybody out of the pool. It's done. Sheol are emptied. Then there's the judgment. The door is shut. God expunges, great word, eradicates any trace of evil ever heard, spoken, or seen. He scrubs earth. He scrubs heaven. No remembrance of anything evil for us. And there we are with Him. Glory all the time. Now how cool is that going to be? This word for glorified is in the past tense. He saw when you gave your heart to Him. He predestined you to be conformed into His image. You're going to make it. He called you with every gifting and calling. He justified you. And now when he looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. And he sees you. Look at Steve, a jillion billion eons from now, glorifying me. That's what he sees. All we can see is, oh, what I did last night. Ooh, ah. I'm such a slimer, I don't think that I can even go to church. You don't understand what's happening. He knew who was going to choose him. He predestined you to be conformed into his image. He called you. He justified you. He glorified you, past tense. He's already done it. All of that, if you will, all of that, when you grasp the cup and you grasp the bread. Do this, says the Lord. And every time you do proclaim the Lord's death and all that this means until I come. Next time you take that cup, predestined, called, and then, of course, glorified. Beloved, don't ever forget that. It's why the communion table is so powerful. Come to the table, and if you can't get to 350 South Rock Boulevard, then pull some crackers out of the cabinet. And if you don't have grape juice, I don't know, maybe a couple raisins, even a glass of water. It's about what's going on in your heart. And when God, when you're saying, Lord, where's the victory? And God may say, it's not time for your victory yet. It's time for your renewal. Circumcise your heart. Get, run to the table. Remember who I am to you, who you are to me. Amen? Back to I don't think we're going to get to the next chapter. That's okay. You guys okay with that little sojourn right there? Well, we'll finish out chapter 5 and be glad for it. I was going to get into the Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And it's about Revelation. So you're going to have to come back next week and see that. What time is it? Oh my, we better hurry. Verse 11, back to Proverbs. How rich is that, everybody? Lord, where's my victory? Loved one, the victory's coming. But you need to take a little time in Gilgal first and roll away the reproach of your enemies. And they ate of the produce, verse 11. They ate of the produce of the promised land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Here's the model of renewal number 3. Number 1 was circumcise your heart. Number 2, revisit the Passover. In our instance, I suppose that would be the communion table. And number 3, model of renewal, you have to eat some fruit of the promised land first. Before I go charging off for my victory, perhaps I should walk in the fruit of the promised land for a while first. If the promised land is a model of the Spirit-filled life, how do you know if the Holy Spirit's doing the driving? Easy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Where's my victory, Lord? If you were to go charge in your Jericho right now, you got awful fruit in your life. How about just take a break, hang out at Gilgal in my presence, and just enjoy the fruit of the Spirit and contentment. Learn to be content right now, right where you are. Verse 12, and look at this. And then the manna ceased. That started in Exodus 16. If you think east of Sparks is bad, How in the world were they going to eat? And God says, you let me take care of that. And then the manna was on the ground every day to be collected. When you enter into the promised land, you learn to feed yourself. Pastor C, we're out of here. And here's sometimes what I hear. Anything that we can pray for here? Is there something upset? Is there some process that needs to take place? No, no, no. We're just not getting fed here. And I can't help but remember this. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. What land, everybody? The promised land. Picture of the Spirit-filled life. And the children of Israel no longer had manna. And they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Could somebody have said then, I'm not getting fed in the promised land? If so, would they be missing the point? When we are trying to learn to live in the Spirit-filled life, you learn to feed yourself. Hebrews chapter 5, book of Hebrews, New Testament. The major bone of contention is that they won't let go of the old ways. Social pressure, cultural pressure, they're pulled back into the old ways of the symbols of Judaism. The oblations and the observances. Paul says it's only a shadow, you guys. The substance is Christ. But in that vein, look at verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. What? The basics. The first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk, not solid food or meat. Who drinks pablum? Babies do. When you cut teeth and molars and incisors and what have you, are you equipped to eat meat? Paul is saying something rather significant. You people with this glorious Jewish understanding and history, you more than most should be equipped for this gospel of Jesus Christ. All the models are now making sense. Instead of being teachers, you need teachers to teach you the basics again. It's like you're on milk and not solid food. Verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use, they not only read their Bibles, they not only study their Bibles, they what? Use what they learn. By reason of use, have their senses exercised like a muscle to discern both good and evil. Back to Joshua. Once you arrive in the promised land, you have to learn to feed yourself. Why? Then God can use you. But so many people come to church on a Sunday, perhaps, even sporadic Sundays. And then if people need counseling and call on us here at the church, we're only too glad to help. If there's anything good that comes from us in a counseling time, I want to tell you something. It was hard fought, hard won. And like every one of you, there are times when there's the enemy, if you will, the reproach of Egypt. Dude, she's broken. She's broken. Get out! It's never going to work! And she too. Dude's crazy. He is never going to see it your way. That's a reproach of Egypt. You got to roll that away. And so when people do call us, one of the biggest things I want to tell them, word, worship, prayer every day, and you'll make it too, just like we have. No. I know. But let me tell you what a jerk he is. Okay. Yeah. But she's a loser. He's not sparkly enough for me. We have heard that. I want to pray right now. This is a powerful picture, Lord. Where's the victory? Some wives have sobbed into their prayer pillow. Where's the conquest? Men have dishearteningly sighed. Lord, I know that for some, perhaps even in this room tonight or within the sound of my voice, maybe they haven't heard your voice that says, it's not time for victory yet. You need to stop at Gilgal and circumcise your selfish heart. And do Passover again. And eat of the fruit of the promised land. And get out of your own head. And do what you know you should do. Yeah, Lord, but she doesn't deserve it. Okay. Get out the flint knives. Yeah, but Lord, there's no way I should be those things for him. He is this and he is that. Get out the flint knives. Oh, Holy Spirit, do what you do. Be the lifter of my head from the huge Goliath screaming at me, and that's all that I can see and all that I can hear. Be the lifter of my head, Lord, that I may see you. I am that person, Lord. Oh, in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe it's not a season for the victory. Maybe it's a season for renewal. Verse 11, they ate the produce of the land on that day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain the very same day. Verse 12, and the manna ceased one day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the fruit of the land of Canaan. I'm not getting fed, say some. Oh my, came across a great quote. His name is William Seymour. That rings a bell. The Azusa Street Revival, about approximately 1906 in Southern California to about 1912. And practically every charismatic denomination can be traced to this great and wonderful outpouring. And William Seymour, who many regard as sort of the spark that opened up that beautiful move of God in Southern California, he said this. Please listen. This great outpouring of God's great mercy will cease when three things begin to happen. Number one, when the Holy Spirit is talked about more than Jesus Christ. When praise and worship have priority over prayer and fasting. What momentum is there in the praise and worship community today? It's great stuff. But when praise and worship is emphasized over the self-denying of prayer and fasting, look out. And when the gifts of the Spirit become more emphasized than the fruit of the Spirit. Let's move quickly to the end. Verse 13. Now I want you to notice that once you have behaved yourself at Gilgal, and God says, your season of Gilgal is over. You've waited long enough. You've circumcised your heart. Now watch verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and he looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn from his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Are you for us or for them? Jesus said, no. What do you mean, no? I'm not playing for one team or the other. I want you, Joshua, to play for my team. He said, no, but as a commander of the army of the Lord. Who is this, everybody? This is Jesus Christ. This is one of those pre-incarnate appearances of our Lord. Who is the commander of all the angels? Jesus is. Remember when they were getting ready to get him, they grabbed him there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter whips out his sword, and Jesus says, put away the sword, Peter. Don't you know that if I wanted to, I could command thousands of angels? I am the commander of the army of the Lord. I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face. And what, everybody? This is an indicator who this is. It's not just an angel. Because remember when John, the revelator, when he sees a glorious angel, so overwhelmed is he falls down to worship. What does the angel say in Revelation 19? Don't worship me. We are fellow servants. This is Jesus. He receives worship. And said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Steve, to harvest, to you. Number one, take the sandals off your feet, for the place you are standing is holy. Hey, didn't he say that to Moses? What's the thing with the sandals, by the way? It's a fun study. Get your concordance out and look up sandals or shoes. And you find out that they are synonymous with service. Sometimes you got to be busy for God. And sometimes you have to take that service off and just be. And Joshua did so. As with Abraham under the oaks of Mamre, Jacob at Luz. You remember Luz, Jacob? Luz means separated. Nobody's around. God gives him the vision. And then he names the place Bethel, the house of God. Moses at the burning bush, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the Creator God, Jesus, is standing right next to him. Hey, Harvest, just for your consideration, where's my victory? What if God says for you, it's not time for victory. It's time for renewal. Would you sign up? Let's all stand. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Powerful imagery here tonight, Lord God. And as always, Old Testament pictures are New Testament principles. For me, it's been a glorious study, Lord. Principles of the Promised Land. Sometimes God hasn't led you to the victory just yet. Not because he's mad at you, not because he thinks you're a loser, but he knows that you might not be ready for the Jericho, whose walls are up to the heavens. Remember that old report? Back to Moses? No way, God. Their fortresses, the walls reach the sky. And there was Joshua looking at those walls. How are we going to do this one, Lord? I know we are, because you promised you would. But because he behaved himself at Gilgal and circumcised, remembered the Passover, and ate of the fruit of the Promised Land, now he's ready. And there's the Lord suddenly standing nearby. Joshua got to see it in person. We need to know it in the Spirit. That the captain of the Lord of hosts is standing nearby. And when he says go, go. In Jesus' name, Lord, help me to behave myself in my shortened season at Gilgal, that you may roll away the reproach of Egypt. In Jesus' name, and all the pre-victorious ones said, amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Joshua with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding the powerful and crucial principle of living in the Spirit-filled life. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.